I'm going to read some verses from the Epistle to the Hebrews, and they are found in the fourth chapter, and beginning to read at verse 12 and reading to the end of the chapter. Now that's verse 16. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I've always loved that last verse. Let me read it again. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, where do you stand in relation to that verse? Who is able to come boldly? That's a very daring statement. Who is able to come boldly? He has to be a Christian. And we have to understand what a Christian is. A Christian is a person who truly believes in Jesus Christ as his Saviour and knows that his sins are forgiven because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Now I'm going to talk about a hymn, and it's a hymn that talks about God, and I think I'd entitle it Praise, the Praise of God. It's by Frederick William Faber. It's a beautiful hymn and a well-known one. My God, how wonderful thou art! Thy majesty, how bright! How beautiful thy mercy seat in depths of burning light. Now, you can see why I chose that reading. It's as if the hymnist was standing back and he's gazing at the person of God. That is through the eyes of faith, of course. He's thinking about God and thinking about God's abilities. We call them attributes, and they're all perfect. God is perfect in all his abilities. And he's standing back and he says, when I think about thee, God, thou art wonderful. Then he thinks of the majesty of God and the dignity of God. Thy majesty, how bright. And then he's looking a little further and he's thinking, yes, I can see something else there. I can see God's throne. And he calls it a mercy seat, because God is merciful to a believer. You see, we will never come before God as judge if we believe in him, but we come before God as a father. How beautiful thy mercy seat, where? In depths of burning light. Now, light really equals holiness and purity. The word light is used in that sense in Scripture. So there's God in all his beauty, majesty, glory, ability, in all his perfection. There's sitting on his throne. We call it a mercy seat. And it's in glory, depths of burning light. And we're able to come to that throne. Then he looks again and says, there's something rather awesome about it all. And he goes on to say, how dread are thine eternal ears. There's no beginning and no end to God. And that is baffling to the mind. It overwhelms the mind. But yet, God couldn't be any less than that if you really think about it. How dread are thine eternal ears, O everlasting Lord. But God is worshipped in heaven by angelic figures, by prostrate spirits day and night, incessantly adored. They never cease to adore him. They never tire of him. Then he sums it up like this. How wonderful, how beautiful the sight of thee must be. He's almost saying, I'm looking forward to seeing thee, Lord. How wonderful, how beautiful the sight of thee must be. Thine endless wisdom, boundless power, and awful purity. Now, let's look at those words. He's looking now at God as if he were there, because he's still on this earth. He said, but it must be a very beautiful, a very wonderful sight. The wisdom of God, you can't measure it. the power of God, there is no boundary to it. And then he talks of the purity of God, and he used the word awful in perhaps an older sense than we use today, but I still like to use it in this sense. The word there is awe, A-W-E. I'm filled with awe. So awful, we usually mean today, is something that is not very pleasant, but it has another meaning, an older meaning, full of awe and awful purity. And then the mood of the hymn changes. And says, I feel anxious, Lord, a kind of a godly anxiety now, not panic. Oh, how I fear thee, living God. Now, we'd call this reverence. Oh, how I fear thee, living God. With what? With deepest, tenderest fears. Now, that's beautifully put. He said, the believer is not a presumptuous person. He's not a person who can just be pally with the Almighty. And yet God is his friend. But yet this friend is also God. And the believer is conscious of that. So there's bound to be reverence. Oh, how I fear the living God, but not the fear of the world, but with reverential awe, with deepest, tenderest fears. There's something very beautiful about this fear, because it's a fear that gives God his due. And I worship thee too, he says, and worship thee with trembling hope and penitential tears. There's something in the believer, although he's happy and full of joy and has assurance, yet when we think about God, we sometimes are overwhelmed, as if there were tears, or penitential tears when we fail him, that's there as well, and our hope trembles, although our hope is sure. All this is to do with our smallness and his greatness, and doesn't belittle our assurance at all. Oh, how I fear thee, living God, with deepest, tenderest fears, and worship thee with trembling hope and penitential tears. And then the wonder of it all. He's absolutely astounded. A little ordinary creature like himself and ourselves is able to love God. Yet, I may love thee. As he was asking, do you think it's possible, Lord, for me, sinful little me, to love God? And God says, yes, through Jesus Christ. Yet I may love thee too, O Lord, almighty as thou art, big as you are, Lord, for thou hast stooped to ask of me the love of my poor heart. Now, could you resist that? God asking you to love him? For thou hast stooped to ask of me the love of my poor heart. And then he describes the love of God. No earthly father loves like thee, no mother e'er so mild. What a thought. Bears and forbears, as thou hast done with me, thy sinful child. No father or mother has the patience that God has, or the patience to put up with all that we are. Bears and forbears. And then I love this closing verse. Father of Jesus. You see, Jesus had no earthly father. He has a heavenly father. He has no heavenly mother. He has an earthly mother. Father of Jesus, love's reward, what rapture will it be, prostrate before thy throne to lie, and ever gaze on thee. Now, do you think like that? Is that your desire? Father of Jesus, love's reward, what rapture will it be, prostrate before thy throne to lie, and ever gaze on thee. And I trust that that's your experience. As we gaze upon the loveliness, the majesty and the glory and the beauty of God, that we admire him, and then we're overwhelmed by him, and then we're filled with confidence in the thought that he is willing to receive the love of an ordinary person like you and myself. Now we pray. Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the privilege of being able to come to a throne of grace, and knowing it's a place where we obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But we are only able to come to the throne of grace because we come not in any merit of our own, but in the merits of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And that is why we say that we come before thee in the name of Jesus, that name which is above every other name, the incomparable name, and knowing that we come as forgiven sinners. And we come to thee, O Lord, for all our requirements and all our needs. And we also come on times also to praise thee and meditate upon thee, and are astonished and our hearts are overwhelmed when we think of the greatness of God, the immensity of God, the eternity and the infinity of God, things, O Lord, that are outside our measurements. And we ask, O Lord, thy blessing upon us, and that this day that we might know of the peace of God and the love of God in our hearts. Grant us this grace, O Lord, for this we ask in our Saviour's name. Amen.